Hello again. Still with me, our Sinead O'Carroll, editor with the Journal, Barry Cowan from Fianna Fáil, Dennis Nocken, independent TD from Roscommon, and Martin Kenny from Sinn Féin. Now we're going to turn to Gaza and the Taoiseach that was in the region this week. He visited the border crossing between Gaza and Egypt at Rafah. He was in Jordan as well, visiting a Palestinian refugee camp near Amman, and he also met a number of foreign ministers. He declared himself after his towards the end of his visit to be pessimistic about the chances of a ceasefire. Now I've been talking to Randa Slim. She's a senior fellow and director of conflict resolution with the Middle East Institute. I began by asking her if she shared Micheál Martin's pessimism.
I do, partly because I think both sides in the conflict, Israel and Hamas, right now still see the status quo as preferable or as more acceptable to them than having to go to a deal and making the concessions that are needed to get to a deal. And so as long as they think that the status quo is better for their interests, and here I'm talking about Prime Minister Netanyahu, who basically sees the prolongation of the war more in his political interest, and Hamas leaders, especially those who are on the inside, who see in the hostages that they hold as their main source of leverage vis-a-vis Israel and to protect themselves. And so both sides in this conflict are not as interested as the outside world, as the mediators themselves, in getting to a deal.
And is that the context in which we should see the release of a proof of life video of Hersh Goldberg Poland, an Israeli-American hostage who's been held by Hamas, which appears to have been recorded in the last 2 days?
I mean, the context is to put pressure on the United States, especially as the United States is undergoing right now a series of student protests around the country, more than 20 universities, and the pressure more is on the administration, on the American president. Because until now, what Hamas want is a permanent ceasefire. And I don't think that the American administration, particularly the American president, has yet bought into the idea of a permanent ceasefire. I don't think they want to approve a Rafah operation, you know, which Israel is planning, supposedly, right now, on the scale that Israel wants to do. But they are also, I don't think they will be opposed to a Rafah operation on a smaller scale. And that's something that definitely the Hamas leadership does not want to see take place. So they are trying to increase the pressure both on the Israeli prime minister, but in this case, because it is an American citizen, on the American president to exercise his leverage on the Israelis to make the kind of concession, especially in terms of a permanent ceasefire, that Hamas needs to make a deal.
But a major arms funding bill, military aid bill, has just gone through Congress. So is there any sign that the American president, or indeed anyone in the political system in America, is minded to exercise any pressure in order for Israel to exercise restraint in any upcoming operation?
I mean, the American administration, and particularly Mr. Biden, the president, has been from the get-go, from October 8th, saying that the two main objectives for the U.S. here is, one, to help Israel defend itself, and two, to prevent a wide regional escalation. So to try to de-escalate, for example, what happens between Israel and Iran recently, what's happening between Lebanon, Hezbollah, and Israel. So to try to de-escalate these conflicts, which might then lead to a wider conflict beyond the Gaza war. So that has been his objective. But at the same time, you are seeing increasing dissatisfaction of the American electorate in an election year with the way Mr. Biden is handling the war and the way Mr. Biden is positioning the United States vis-a-vis this conflict. And it's happening not only among Democrats, which has seen a major drop in support for Israel here among Democrats, but also it's happening more importantly for the president, for the elections, are the independents. You know, until recently, all polls showed the independents holding basically equal views in terms of support and against what Israel is doing. And the recent poll is showing major shift among independents in opposition to what Israel is doing. And more importantly, the same poll is showing majorities of Americans tuning in to what's going on in Gaza. So the conflict there is no longer a foreign policy issue which will not affect the elections. No, it's a foreign policy issue that's entering every most American homes, and people have made, you know, position, have taken position vis-a-vis that. Now, among Republicans, the support for Israel is still high, but still, compared to the last poll, you know, before this last one, even support among Republicans for Israel is dropping. And so that's going to also have to shift, in a way, the decision-making calculus of the president, especially as we get closer and closer to the elections in November.
Is there a growing imperative for the president to work, I suppose, more vigorously towards a ceasefire? Because the longer the war goes on, there will be more incidents seen, like discovery of mass graves at Nasser Hospital. And while people don't know the reason behind it, the US has been weaker than either the UN or the EU in calling for an investigation or some form of accountability to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And especially my biggest fear is not only these, all these, you know, crimes, war crimes that are being committed, these mass graves that are being discovered, but and for the US so far not to call and not to push for independent international investigation, which should be the case, given it's a, especially with this administration that has come in, you know, into government pledging to put human rights at the center of its foreign policy, and we don't see these human this focus at all being applied in the way they are handling the conflict in Gaza or the Israel's war on Palestinians in Gaza. I think also what worries me more is the Rafah operation. You know, after all, in Rafah now you have about 1.4 million Palestinian refugees who have come from the north and the central part of Gaza, which are totally destroyed and they have nowhere else to go. And so any kind of operation in and on Rafah is going to be catastrophic in terms of casualties, no matter what kind of precautions the Israeli military, you know, will claim that they are going to be taken. And the other major problem is famine. I mean, we now have famine among Palestinians. There is more humanitarian assistance coming into the Strip because finally the US president decided at least to use one time his leverage on the Israeli prime minister to force him to let more humanitarian aid in. But still, it's not coming in enough quantities at enough speeds in order to avert famine. Famine is setting in, and we're going to hear more and more about it going forward.
And that was Randa Slim, Senior Fellow and Director of Conflict Resolution with the Middle East Institute. Sinead, we began that interview with mention of Micheál Martin's trip to the Middle East. Where was he and why was he there?
Had engagements all week with in Cairo and Amman in Jordan, and also visited the border at Rafah, where reporters said that he was, you know, visibly very angry and very taken with what he had seen. You know, 4 kilometres worth of trucks waiting to get into Gaza, people, queues and queues of people waiting to get back into Gaza, just saying that they just wanted to get back home and get back into Gaza and try and find family members that they had been separated from. But on the point around ceasefires, he also said that he felt that we, after his engagements, and this was before the hostage video was released, he said that he felt that it was going backwards and that it felt further away than ever, a permanent ceasefire or any kind of ceasefire. So after visiting the region, that's not the kind of news you would like to hear, but I think it was important for him to see the region and to be able to report back. I think when you see what's happening in America, a lot of what we say here would be extremely controversial there. But I think everyone's on the same page here that, you know, the Taoiseach is speaking for us all when he's just saying that this is, or he's speaking for most of us, I think, when he says, like, what's happening is collective punishment. And he said that very clearly after talking to humanitarian aid workers. There was one line in Niall O'Connor, our reporter from the Journal, was on the trip. And there was one line from one of the humanitarian aid workers who had piles and piles of medical kit and things like water filters, CT scanners in a room. None of them had been let through the border because they had all been rejected by Israel. And then things like croissants and fruit juice because they said they were luxury items.
Yeah, so, chocolate biscuits. I saw a list for our colleague Tony Connolly tweeted a list of the full list of things that had been held back. Scissors from medical aid packs, scalpels from delivery kits, and in some cases face cream because of the content of glycerine in that that might that it was argued by Israel might be repurposed. Well, Barry Cowan, what do you think was achieved by the Tánaiste going there this week?
It was important, significant, and commendable that he used his office to visit the region, to fact find, to report, and to report honestly his assessment, and then thereafter to use his influence, with the, whether it be within the EU, the UN, the US, to press for even a temporary ceasefire, to allow humanitarian aid in, you know, get, and at the same time maybe allow honest brokers the opportunity to begin some form of negotiation. And it's you know, you can't go into a negotiation with one stance and walk out of negotiations with the same stance. And that appears to be where it's at before they even get to the table. But, you know, the it remains terribly and shocking and horrific to watch what we see. And for the Tánaiste to see that firsthand in person obviously impacted on him. And, you know, all we can do insofar as we can, we're a small nation, but we've influence way above our station, one might think, and one would assume. And as I said, it was commendable that he went there, and it's significant what he has reported, and it's important that he respond accordingly in his discussions with players there in the region, but more importantly with the likes of the US.
Dennis Stockton.
Yeah, I think it was very important that the Tánaiste went, and I think it was very significant that he went, and I think it was important that he experienced and seen it firsthand. I've been speaking with some Egyptian colleagues over the last week who were very thankful that the Tánaiste had come and seen it, and I think it helps to for people in the Middle East to actually see people coming in from outside, looking and seeing what's going on. And I think it's important now that the Tánaiste reports back, not just to the Dáil, but to his EU colleagues, which I think is significantly important. And I think hopefully helped to move the agenda on and put pressure at both UN level, at US level, but also on our European colleagues to try and impress on Israel that they cannot proceed along the lines they're going in. I was speaking yesterday with Isabel Simpson of Médecins Sans Frontières, who spent 2 years living in Gaza. And she said to me, if there's an offensive in Rafah, it will be a bloodbath. And she said the one thing that needs to happen immediately is a ceasefire. And secondly, we need to get aid in there urgently. She said that the Erez crossing, the Karim Shalom crossing need to be opened, and that there were two other crossings between those two crossings that could also be opened. But it was down to Israel to open those, and that was the way to get the urgently needed aid into the strip.
The Karem Shalom crossing, is there's limited traffic through it, and similarly with the Erez one, but I think the inspection is slowing it down, and what's been allowed in, as we've just discussed, is affected as well. Martin Kenny.
Yeah, I mean, the issue at the crossings is just deplorable, that you have all of this aid sitting there waiting, being held up, and people a kilometre away starving. And that's the reality of it, and that this is playing out in an international world where everyone in the world can see it across media is just shocking to witness that. I think the Tánaiste being there is of course going to bring additional pressure, and that's what we need to do. We need to bring maximum pressure particularly to the United States, because that particular relationship between America and Israel is so strong that is the place where best pressure can come for to get a ceasefire. And the world is looking for a ceasefire. The European Union, of course, has a role to play as well. We in Ireland have been to the fore in that, in fairness, across all political parties and none, to say that we want to speak with one voice, to demand a ceasefire, to demand a progressive solution to this, what has been an intractable conflict for decades now, can be resolved. But I think we also need to look back to Ireland. I know the Tánaiste has spoken about, you know, the recognition of the state of Palestine. That's something I think which would add additional pressure, and the sooner we can do that, the better. There's also issues, of course, the legislation that's coming through the Dáil at the moment in regard to the occupied territories, all of those things, if we can step up to the mark and create as best example as possible internationally as a country which stands for moving forward on this conflict, I think we can do that.
OK, we've got to take our final break. We're back in a minute.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.